James chapter 1, verse 13 says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren." I want to preach to you just a little while this evening on the LSD of the Bible. The LSD of the Bible. LSD was a drug, a street drug that was common in the 60s and 70s and early 80s. Very, very harsh drug. LSD stands for lysergic acid diethylamide. And that particular term was shortened to LSD because lysergic acid diethylamide is difficult to say, especially if you're on it. And they began to call it different things. It was referred to as acid, stars, trips, strawberries, death paint. The reason they called it death paint was because the liquid and granules of LSD was very, very hard to come by for a period of time in America. And what they did do was they would melt down LSD and use it as paint and paint it onto a piece of paper, and then you could lick that piece of paper and get high off of the LSD that was painted onto the paper. But the problem was the paint was uncontrollable in consistency and in dosage, and many, many, many people were killed by it, so they called it death paint. One doctor said in 1989 that as of that particular date, no street drug has ever been known that has a higher risk of mortality than LSD. It's not very common anymore, and some might wonder why I would preach about it now. I preach about it now because there is a spiritual LSD that is far more deadly than lysergic acid diethylamide. This particular LSD that I speak of is found in verse 15. It said, "Then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." Lust, sin, and death. The LSD of the Bible. Lust could be lust of the physical nature. When we use the word lust, most people automatically think of sexual lust or physical lust. And I'm definitely preaching about that tonight. But there's much, much greater and broader terms. It could be lust of greed, lust of pride, lust of power, lust of fame, lust of selfishness, lust of authority, lust of things, lust of recognition. There are many, many people out there that have done wonderful, great, good, even spiritual, even godly things that they have done, but they're engulfed in such a lust of being sure that they get the recognition and the credit for it, that there's a huge problem. There are many people out there, some of the greatest preachers that ever lived, some of the greatest saints that ever come along, fell to not physical lust, although many have done that lately. But others are still currently following the lust of power, lust of fame, lust of authority. And either way you slice it, friend, lust is going to get you. It's just the beginning of the process of LSD. Some would say, well, LSD, the drug, and lust of the Bible, I don't see the comparison here. Listen to me. LSD was a psychedelic drug that causes one to misconstrue or lose understanding of time and space. LSD sent one's emotions and perceptions into hyper overdrive on incredibly unimportant items. LSD causes one to forget to use proper faculties of wisdom and common sense. LSD causes one to be completely unpredictable. It invokes inappropriate use of the imagination. One may easily hurt oneself on LSD or even hurt others. On LSD, you can have panic attacks and you can overreact to common situations. Now, as I'm talking to you and explaining to you what LSD is about, what it can do, that begins to register in our mind. Oh, yes, I see that out of a drug addict. I see that out of somebody that's high. I see that out of somebody like that. But listen to me, if I take the exact same explanation and drop LSD, forget about the street drug, and let's just talk about lust itself, the way way it's described in Scripture. Lust can cause one to misconstrue or lose understanding of time and space. Lust sends one's emotions and perceptions into hyper-overdrive on incredibly unimportant items. Lust causes one to forget to use proper facilities of wisdom and common sense. Lust causes one to be completely unpredictable. It invokes inappropriate use of the imagination. Lust may easily hurt oneself or hurt others. In the process of having lust, one could have a panic attack and overreact to common situations. I'm just trying to show something, to make a comparison here. Lust is an emotion. LSD causes one. They both drive your desires to unintended points. They both cause somebody to act radically different than they would if they were not under the influence of either one. I will tell you a couple of stories that I know very much about. Back in the 80s, in a particular place where I came from, there was a man that was high on LSD. He took a gun and he snuck out in his front yard, and when the postman came by, he shot the postman and killed him dead. They arrested the man. They took him down to the police department, and his official statement, he said, "I thought that he was a dragon." Now we say that is crazy. That guy was high. He was out there. He was messed up. But just a few months later, another man, he was hiding in the bushes outside his girlfriend's house early one morning. He saw his girlfriend's son leave the house and go to school. But at some point, he was too busy doing whatever he was doing in the bushes that he did not notice the son slip back into the house because he forgot some school books that he needed to have. Then when the man was paying attention again, the boy came back out of the front door, re-leaving to go to school. When the male figure appeared coming out of the front door, the man jumped out of the bushes and unloaded a clip on him and blew that young boy into eternity. That man was arrested in his official statement. He said that the reason he shot and killed the boy was because he thought he had finally caught his girlfriend's other lover. One of them was on LSD and high. One of them was on lust and high. One of them was driven by a drug, and one of them was driven by an inappropriate emotion. But either way, they both sent somebody into eternity. LSD is a process of getting into the bloodstream, working its high, and then causing its addiction and eventually doing its damage. Lust also is a process. It also gets into your blood. Let me explain that for just a minute. Some of you out there like to pretend like you've never been down this road before. But lust, when it gets a hold of you, it begins to work on you. It begins to get down rooted inside you. You can't stop thinking about it. You can't get rid of it. It can elevate your blood pressure. It can do all kinds of things to your mental, physical, spiritual well-being. It gets in your blood. It gives you a few thrills. You get a few highs of excitement through it. But listen to the words of God, my friend. Lust of the heart, lust of the mind, when it is conceived or when it is completed in action or in deed, lust will bring forth sin. If it's the lust of the flesh, it will conceive into unbiblical sexual conduct, and that conduct is sin. If it's the lust of greed, it will eventually conceive some sort of theft or something, and then the act of stealing is sin. If it's the lust of power, it will conceive an attempt to stab a friend in the back or lie about somebody to get ahead, and that stabbing or that lying is sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. A health expert that was involved in one of our Jacob's Ladder programs, speaking on meth one night, she said that the drug addiction cycle is not finished until it ultimately destroys the drug addict. You listen to me. No one, I know what I'm talking about, no one in the drug addiction world ever just gets to a certain point and then levels off. I've had hundreds of them tell me that they did, and they were lying. They were lying like the devil himself. Almost everyone that ever told me, they just did so much and did it for years, and that's all they ever did. Within the amount of space of time that I knew them, they went farther and farther until they were full-blown addicts, or they were full-blown prisoners, or they had killed themselves, or some horrible thing. It had no one in the drug addiction world just gets to a certain point and then levels off. If you're listening to me out there, friend, and you're dabbling with alcohol, dabbling in sin, dabbling in witchcraft, whatever you're dabbling in, and you think, I'm just going to do so much, you listen to the preacher tonight. The devil is sucking you in. He's drawing you in. He's using your flesh against you. He's using your mind against you. He's using your very own lust against you. No one gets to a certain point and then levels off. The end of the addiction is the death of the addict. And the Bible agrees. It said, sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Lust, a wrong desire, an inappropriate and unhealthy jealousy or rage or pride or addiction, whatever it is, the lust will ultimately bring about sin, and that sin is not finished until it kills you. The end of the addiction is the death of the addict, and the end of the sin is the death of the sinner. The whole reason why the devil and his angels, the whole reason why your flesh and evil and spirits and inappropriate, all of this driving force that pulls at you and nags on you and tugs you in different directions, the whole purpose is, doesn't matter how long it takes, doesn't matter how far it has to go, doesn't matter how many times you pull back from it and get loose, it doesn't matter, friend, the process is, can it kill you? Can it destroy you? Can it take your soul to a devil's hell? The end of the addiction is the death of the addict, and the end of the sin is the death of the sinner. The Bible said that whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Your only hope, friend, is that the Bible also said that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. Oh, praise God. Christianity is more an inoculation than it is a proclamation. Christianity is more of a show me than it is a tell me. We got a lot of people proclaiming, a lot of people making the proclamation of a Christian life. But they get into the world, they get into harsh situations, they get around inappropriateness, and they fall to their very own lusts. And the proclamation was no good. But Christianity is not so much a proclamation as it is an inoculation. An inoculation is when something is injected into you and it gets all through your system in a way that it is a protection for you. That when you go into an area where that particular disease is, you do not get that disease. You do not catch that disease. You do not show the symptoms of having that disease because you are inoculated. You are protected. You are injected with something all up inside you that gives you the ability and the power and the strength to resist whatever that disease is. That, my friend, is Christianity. Christianity is not saying I'm holiness, not saying I go to this kind of church, not saying this is my doctrine, not joining any cultic principle, not going along with what one man says or thinks or does or believes. It's not just raising your hand. It's not just saying with your mouth. It's not just going to a particular place or not going to a particular place. Christianity is not a proclamation only. It is an inoculation. It is when the blood of Jesus Christ that flowed from Calvary is injected into your heart, mind, body, soul, and spirit. It infiltrates everything that makes up who you are. And when you get yourself caught in a place that is full of lust and pride and jealousy and bitterness and all of these horrible things, and when they try to throw power and prestige and all of these things upon you, when fame raises up and offers itself to you, when selfishness and authority and recognition are things that you become overwhelmed with. You have this inoculation of Christianity. You have this insurgence in yourself of the blood of Christ that rises up. And you, my friend, unlike a sinner, unlike a common person that has not received the blood of the Lamb of God, you do not show the side effects of the sin. You do not take on the disease of the lust because you have not just proclaimed it. You have been injected with it. You have been overwhelmed and overcome by the power and the blood and the grace of God. It is not a proclamation. It is an inoculation. No, you do not put yourself in those places to see if it'll work or not. Sin will find itself into your life anyway. You will stay as sanctified and separated from this evil world as you can, but you have to go to work, and you have to eat, and you have to live in this world, and you have to drive to town, and lust will creep itself in the church, and in the home, and in the marriage, and in the family, and in the friendships. And when it does, if you're injected, if you've received, if you've accepted that precious blood of Calvary, it gives you the strength and the power to overcome lust. And lust, when it has conceived, bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And lysergic acid diethylamide, LSD of the 60s and 70s and early 80s, it did a lot of damage. And it was powerful, deadly. But it's never even scratched the surface of the damage that lust is doing in humanity today. It's not a drop in the bucket of how damaging and destructive lust is, even amongst the common ranks of Christian church people. James 1 and 15, friend, read it for yourself. The warning, the example to escape the LSD of the Bible.